Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly and Dan Wilson filling in for Joe and Hugh on this Black Friday. Obviously talking a lot of Eagles today. Big game, Eagles-Ravens Sunday, 425 right here on WIP. And now to help us break it all down, we bring in Seth Joyner, former Eagle great. Seth Joyner's call sponsored by Bet Parks. Every weekend, the double the spread boost for all users on one pro football game. Check the Bet Parks app Friday. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Seth joins us now. Seth, thanks for hopping on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, man. Hope you guys had a good holiday yesterday, man.
Yeah, you too, Seth. And obviously, a lot of football yesterday. Very interesting game between the Lions and the Bears. One of the things we've been talking about today, Eagles-Lions, how they stack up. Just overall, your thoughts on Detroit yesterday, and how do you think the Eagles stack up with the Lions?
Well, they look like similar football teams. It's amazing how much the NFL is evolving. You got even the Ravens coming up. You know, these two teams look more like running football teams, or three, I should say, than they do passing football teams. I didn't think I'd ever see that again in the National Football League. But everyone says that the run game is dead, that running backs are a dime a dozen, and all of a sudden, you know, you have this major shift. So I think, you know, it's going to be tough for the Eagles to overtake Detroit just because of scheduling. But, hey, you never know. They keep, you know, they keep tippy-toeing the way they did yesterday. The Bears certainly had a chance to get them, but the Eagles can only all they can do is take care of their own business and try to win out as many games as they can to get the best position possible.
Seth, you mentioned the running backs kind of making a bit of a comeback here in the year 2024. Feels like it's been a really long time, perhaps more than a decade, since we've had a running back matchup like we have on Sunday in Baltimore between Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. But it also feels like a game where, you know, maybe Jalen Hurts has to go to the passing game a little bit more than he has in prior weeks, just given that the likelihood that maybe they go down by a couple of scores is more likely. How big, you know, Devontae Smith limited in practice again yesterday. He did not play, obviously, in L.A. Are they going to miss Devontae Smith? It doesn't seem like they've missed him a ton up to this point. They've been just fine without him. Do they miss Devontae Smith maybe just a little bit more in a game like this?
Well, I think it's possible. Listen, the Ravens are ranked second in the NFL stopping the run. They're only giving up 77 yards per game. But they're the 31st ranked team versus the pass. That should give you some insight as to potentially what the Eagles may need to do. Not that, you know, they can't run the football, because they've proven that they can pound you in the submission and just, you know, break it wide open when they need to in the second half. But, you know, they haven't been in a situation defensively where, you know, they've had to do that either, because they've played so well on the defensive side of the ball. The games have always been, you know, kind of in reach until, you know, the offense could impose their will and get the game under control. But I think this is a game where they potentially could miss him. But it's like anything else. You get a guy that goes down, it's another opportunity for somebody else to step up, you know, and make some plays. And, you know, if they have to throw it, I'm confident that they can get it done. I'm confident that the offensive line can get it blocked up and they can make it happen. But it's just going to be a very, very interesting chess match on both sides of the ball, because these are two similar teams that do similar things extremely well defensively. They have similar strengths and weaknesses. And it's just going to be real interesting to watch the chess match and the game plan and see how these teams try to attack one another.
Seth Joyner joining us now. And Seth, I mean, the Baltimore Ravens offense, one of the best in the NFL this year, top ranked in a lot of categories, Lamar Jackson playing great, and Derrick Henry has been a difference maker for them. Going into this game, what do you think the key is for Vic Fangio and that defense to keep that Baltimore offense in check?
Well, the key is always going to be, first of all, to make them one-dimensional. You know, is to be able to get Derrick Henry under control. like Saquon, every time he touches the ball, there's a chance he could take it the distance. But the difference between he and Saquon, Saquon's a lot more shifty. He can make more guys miss. Derek is a one-cut guy. And if they've got numbers on that side, you know, now he's second, third level. And, you know, he's tough to tackle. But they've got the commitment to being able to slow down the run game and make Lamar, you know, now try to contain him and keep him in the pocket and make him throw from the pocket and play from the pocket. Those are going to be the challenges. And in my opinion, that's the biggest key. Can you keep Lamar in the pocket when he has to throw it? And can you make him throw it from the pocket and complete it at a high percentage? And can you keep Derrick Henry under control the entire game? Because in a lot of ways, it's like the Eagles' offense. If he breaks out all of a sudden, it just throws the game into chaos. Because now you got to concentrate on getting him under control, like you got to concentrate on getting Saquon under control. And then they go play action pass, and the next thing you know, you got a guy running down the field, you know, wide open. So it's like I said, it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous chess match, a game of wills, a game of wits. And it'll be interesting to watch and see what Vic Fangio is able to do and how Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni decide to change the game plan if need be.
Seth, Fangio obviously having to game plan against this Ravens offense, perhaps the toughest test this Eagles defense has had all season, obviously going to have to do it without Brandon Graham, who had been aging like fine wine in year 15 of his NFL career. I'm sure you, as a former linebacker, have loved what you've seen out of Zach Bond and Nakobe Dean this season. Do you put them in more pass rushing situations? Do you rely more on Nolan Smith and you know, guys like you know, the guy who they just picked up, Charles Harris, Jalix Hunt? Do you rely more on who you already have at that pass rushing position, or do you kind of ask more out of your linebackers? Like, how are you game planning this as a defensive coordinator, in particular in a game like the Ravens?
Well, listen, I don't think that if I'm Vic Fangio, I'm not changing what I do. You know, obviously his playbook is expanding because, you know, the players are picking up what he's asking of them. And, you know, he's getting more comfortable with them. They're getting more comfortable with him. And they're playing with a lot more confidence. So the playbook can expand. But I don't think you have to do anything different because you don't have BG at your disposal. You know, listen, Brandon was, you know, I call him Benjamin Button, the way he's been playing in year 15. And he was having a hell of a game last week before he goes down. But the Eagles, in my opinion, and it's no slight to Brandon or anybody else, they still don't have a premier pass rusher. You know, so it's not like, you know, you're going to find somebody to replace, you know, great production. I think you lost leadership. And you lost good production, but I don't think I don't think they still, the issue is they still don't have a premier pass rusher, a guy that the teams look at and they fear. So I don't think the game plan changes. You know, I think the elements are always going to be the same. You get the run under control, pick your spots where you're able to come after Lamar. And force the issue and hope that you can keep him in the pocket and you can tackle him within the pocket. And then, you know, let your young guys on the back end do what they've done extremely well, is, you know, cover great in man-to-man and in zone concepts. You just hope that, you know, they're seeing the ball and they can come downhill and make tackles.
And just one more for you here, Seth, to circle back to the games from yesterday. That Lions-Bears game, the end of that game for the Bears, one of the worst mismanagements of the clock we've ever seen. Just your thoughts on the way that happens, and have you ever seen anything worse than what Matt Eberflus and the Bears did yesterday?
No, I mean, it's been one conundrum after another for Matt Eberflus down the stretch. And, you know, like, I'm not one to call for somebody's job, but I'd be surprised, you know, by next week if he's still the Bears head coach. But I just, in that situation, the head coach has to make the call to call the timeout. You know, I've been seeing people talk about it on social media and whatnot. Oh, the quarterback has, you got a rookie quarterback. Help your quarterback out in that situation. You have an opportunity to win the football game. Use the timeout. And you got at least two more shots before you have to, like, make a major decision. But help him out and make the call, you know. And the way he addressed it, you know, in this press conference is just, you know, it's surprising. It's everything that you would expect. The last three games that they've blown, and the way he's addressed it in his press conference is everything you would expect for a coach, you know, is kind of lost grip of the reality of what's going on. But I was blown away by what I saw. To not have had a plan for that, you know, when you call the first down, why not bring your quarterback, you know, to the sideline and kind of have a conversation about how you want to do things. You do have your in his ear right up until the last 15 seconds in the clock. So you got time to talk to him and tell him what you want to have done. But as the head coach, go over and call the timeout. I mean, you cost your own football team, you know, three games this year, and that's on head coaching. That has nothing to do with a young rookie quarterback. That's all on head coaching.
Seth, last thing from me here, and then we'll let you go, is Tom and I, we have debated this week leading up to this Ravens game who the better trio is between the Eagles and Ravens, meaning quarterback, running back, coach. Obviously for, you know, the Eagles, Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Nick Sirianni. For the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and John Harbaugh. If you had to pick, which trio would you rather have either this year and over the next 5 years? Because the two of us, we could really use a real football guy's opinion.
Oh, see, you're just trying to draw me into y'all's crazy. listen, at the end of the day, I think it's you have to go a little bit further than that and pull in the Eagles' best wide receiver and the Ravens' best wide receiver, whether that's a tight end or a wide receiver. I think when you throw A.J. Brown into the mix, I think you clearly have your answer because they don't have anything like that on their side of the ball. They've got some tight ends that are, you know, that are a handful. They've got some speed at the wide receiver, but they don't have a whole lot of consistency there. You know, I'm taking, you know, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and A.J. Brown all day long. Because I think, you know, we're minimizing it. If you're just going to do those three, then you obviously, you know, the head coach and the way that Lamar is playing right now, Saquon kind of levels out the running back position, but the way that Lamar Jackson is playing right now and what they're asking him to do, I want to make this clear. A lot of what they're asking Jalen Hurts to do is why his numbers look so pedestrian and there's so much conversation about him, you know, potentially being the weak link for this football team if it comes to him having a pass. Understand, they're only asking him to throw the ball on average 21 times a game over the last seven games. He's completing 16 of those, okay, for right around 180, 190 yards at almost 11 yards per clip. So now add 10 more to that and tell me what that looks like. But people don't want to see it that way because, you know, this team has turned into a run-first team and turned into a throwback team. And you know, they're not asking him to do a whole lot. They're not asking him to do that because he can't do it. That's false. Because all you got to do is go back in time, and you can remember seeing Jalen Hurts being able to throw the ball when asked to throw it and be able to use his legs to do some of the things that Lamar Jackson is asked to do. But within the framework of what they've asked him to do as they've had to try to bring this offense along and Saquon's become the focal point in the offensive line, they've asked Jalen to do less. But the time will come before this season is over where he will have to step forward, and there's no doubt in my mind that he'll be able to do it. But if I'm taking a trio and adding a wide receiver, I'm taking Nick Sirianni, I'm taking Jalen Hurts, I'm taking Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown all day long.
Well, there you go. And that receiver definitely does make a huge difference. But Seth Joyner joining us on this Black Friday. Seth, really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Seth.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, take it easy. That's Seth Joyner. So he sides with me.
No,
better trio is the Eagles trio.
He had to add the receiver. No. the better quartet is the Eagles quartet. He had to add the receiver for you to win that argument.
Yeah, well, but I still won.
He prefaced it.
Well, we'll throw this out to the audience because this is something we were talking about the other night. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494, this game on Sunday, which trio would you rather have? Head coach, quarterback, running back. John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, or Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley. I'm taking the Eagles trio. I think Saquon, Derrick Henry's great. Saquon's better. Like, I just believe he is so far ahead of everybody else.
And that's
right
the only
now.
Place the Eagles have the advantage.
Nick Sirianni is every bit as good as John Harbaugh.
No, he's not on John Harbaugh's level.
I'm tired of this Nick Sirianni disrespect.
You were
the
calling
guy's 43-19.
Harbaugh's been doing this since 08, man.
Tom, you called for his job at the bye.
And I was wrong. No, not at the bye, after the Browns game. I thought the kids in the press conference was unprofessional.
So sorry, even more recently than I remembered. You more recently than the bye in the last 10
and that,
weeks.
And I was totally wrong. Like, I thought the Nick Sirianni, the pressure was getting to him at that point. Nick Sirianni's turned this thing around. Like, this team has won 7 games in a row, and I don't understand why we still have these overarching questions about the head coach. So like, John Harbaugh and Nick Sirianni, they manage games very similarly. Like, they are going to coach the games basically the same way. They're going to go for fourth downs. They're going to be aggressive. Do you think John Harbaugh gives them a significant advantage over Nick Sirianni in this game?
Just to clarify, so you have gone from Nick Sirianni should be fired to he's every bit the coach of a guy who's been running the Ravens since 2008. He has jumped that level in that short period of time.
No, I don't think John Harbaugh is like a massive advantage over Nick Sirianni in this game on
when
Sunday.
Was the
I
last
just don't.
Time, when was the last time like the Ravens rebuilt or have like gone into irrelevancy for any sustained period of time? They've been one of the most consistently good teams in the NFL for...
What have the Eagles been under Nick Sirianni? What are you talking about?
Have the Ravens ever collapsed like they did last year under
Sirianni? No, but you said you're over last year. What are we bringing up last year for?
Well, you're now bringing into question all of Sirianni's tenure as the Eagles head coach.
Well, I don't think that John Harbaugh...
I'm over last year in predicting games for this year, yes.
Okay. Going into this game on Sunday, do you think John Harbaugh gives the Ravens a significant advantage over Nick Sirianni?
Yes, I do.
Based on what?
Based on the fact that I still have question marks about the head coach. You're saying they manage games similarly. I don't think John Harbaugh in year, 16?
John Harbaugh went for a 4th-and-1 at his 15-yard line in the first half last week.
John Harbaugh in what year 16 or 17 of being an NFL coach knows how to like manage the clock better than Sirianni does, frankly. I think he's been doing the CEO head coaching thing for a long time. And I'll give the nod to experience, if you will. I'll give the nod to the guy who, I know it was 10 years ago, has won the Super Bowl and has been a consistent winner in the NFL for a long time over Sirianni, who, again, you yourself said you wanted to fire in week 5.
Yeah, again, Buzz, you can go back and talk about that. I was wrong. I was fully wrong about saying that Nick Sirianni, after the Cleveland game, yes, I thought getting into it with the fans, I thought the kids at the press conference, I thought it was ridiculous. But Nick Sirianni, what he has done over the last 7 weeks, he does not get nearly enough credit for. And I don't understand, like, you talk about the mismanagement of the clock. When really is he mismanaging the clock? Aside from that New Orleans game.
The first half yesterday,
But how about all the times when the Eagles are scoring at the end of halves? How many times we talk about the middle eight, the final four minutes of the first half, the first four minutes of the second half? How many times the Eagles take advantage of that and score at the end of the first half? But you don't talk about it then. You only talk about it when Nick Sirianni, oh, look at what he did in this spot. Look, he mismanaged the clock against the Rams. Where's the credit when things go right? Just call it both ways.
Okay, Mr. Reese Hoskins over here. That was the old, remember, write about the good stuff, too?
Yeah, with Nick Sirianni, this is the problem, Dan. He does not get credit.
Sirianni is a good coach. I believe he is a good coach. He has grown on me, but there is still basic elementary level stuff that I knew to do when I was 8 years old playing Madden that he still can't get a handle on.
Like what?
Like literally the way he handled the end of the first half last week. He could have left himself 40 more seconds and he didn't. You mentioned the end of the Saints game. It was the end of the which game? There were
the end of the first half. That was a terrible decision.
No. There was a game a couple of weeks ago that he blundered the clock management as well. Forget which game. I could go back each individual one. Oh, the game where which game was Elliott missed the multiple kicks? Who was that against?
Against Washington.
Against Washington. I thought he was horrible at decision-making in that game.
In what sense?
I don't think he should have kicked a 57-yard field goal when it was late in the game and you're going to give the Commanders good field position. I didn't think going for...
That was Jacksonville.
Okay, my games are blending together here. But, yes, that was Jacksonville when Elliott missed that kick. And the following week, yeah, that wasn't his fault because Elliott was just bad, whatever. There was a game where they could have gone up three scores with a two-point conversion, and they went for two instead, and they kept it at 16 points.
Right, like the Jacksonville game.
But basic elementary-level stuff, the Jaguars game shouldn't have been close.
But okay, and we look at the Jaguars game, and one of the decisions he takes heat for is going for a 4th-and-3, and the Eagles don't get it. Okay, Jalen Hurts, you watch that play.
Yes.
It's a bad throw. Should be a touchdown to A.J. Brown. Doesn't make the throw. The week before, they got similar situation. They go for a 4th-and-3. Jalen throws a touchdown to A.J. Brown. Did we talk about Nick Sirianni's?
That was a self...
Did we talk about Nick Sirianni's decision-making when it worked?
I said...
We didn't.
No, I said to... I believe I'm remembering the correct play. I said to Mike Angelina during that post-game show, because that was the game, I believe it came out later, that Jalen audible that play. If I remember correctly, the 4th-and-3 where he got the touchdown to A.J. Brown. And I said to Mike in there, and I guess maybe you weren't back there, that it was a dumb decision even though it worked. And it was a dumb decision the following week when it didn't work. There was no.
So you just want to take the points all the time?
No, I'm not saying I'm Mr. Take All the Points.
But this is the thing, Dan.
Not always about taking the points. You shouldn't go for two if you could make it a three-possession game with an extra point.
Did you think last week on Monday Night Football, John Harbaugh, who you think gives the Ravens such a clear-cut advantage over Nick Sirianni, did you think it was a good decision when he went for 4th-and-1 from his own 15-yard line in the first half?
Did you think Mike Tomlin coached a good game at the end of last Thursday?
No, I didn't. I thought he coached a bad game. I thought accepting that penalty on third down was a stupid decision.
Do you think Mike Tomlin's a top-5 coach in the NFL?
Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin's a good coach.
All right, so let's be clear. A top-5 coach in the NFL can still have like bad games or bad situations. Where would you rank Harbaugh?
I think Harbaugh's a top-5 coach.
All right, and where's Sirianni? Top 5?
Nick Sirianni is, I mean, certainly top 10. The only thing that puts Harbaugh above Sirianni is longevity. But right now, I don't look at it, and I don't think John Harbaugh gives them a significant advantage over Nick Sirianni. I think Nick Sirianni largely makes the right decisions in games. And again, this is something we won't talk about. We can discuss whether it should have been allowed or not, and it shouldn't have been allowed. But last week, Nick Sirianni made a decision that materially changed the game in the Eagles' favor. When he made that decision, when the Rams sent their offense back out on 4th-and-3, and he said, we'll accept the penalty, make them play 3rd-and-13, get a sack, miss field goal. At that point, it's a 13-point game. Rams score a touchdown there. They cut it to 6, Dan. But after the game, are we talking about Nick Sirianni and the great decision-making? Of course not. Because it's Nick. And we only look at him, we only point at him when it's bad. We don't give him credit when he does the right things.
I can acknowledge when he's been a good football coach. I think in football more so than any other sport, and I know we're late for a break here, I think football more so than any other sport, it's hard to win consistently in spite of your head coach. Obviously, they're good. His record speaks for himself in that regard. Do I worry about how he'll manage a late-game situation or a two-point situation or a go-for-it-slash-kick situation in a game that's going to be decided by 3 points in Baltimore? I do.
So would you say they're winning in spite of him? Would you say that?
I did not say they're winning in spite of him. I said that he's a good coach, and I worry about him in a close game like this. And if you're asking me, when push comes to shove, if there's a coaching chess match that goes on at the end of this late game, I'll lean John Harbaugh, because the guy's experienced, the guy's won a Super Bowl, and the guy's a top-5 coach in the NFL.
I think it's a coin flip. 215-592-9494. But want to know, do you believe that John Harbaugh gives the Ravens a significant advantage over Nick Sirianni? I don't. Like, maybe a slight here or there. I think they're pretty similar. I certainly don't think John Harbaugh gives the Ravens any significant advantage over Nick Sirianni and the Eagles going into this game on Sunday. Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly, Dan Wilson with you on a Friday afternoon. We're filling in for Joe and Hugh today. You want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you're doing the show. Obviously talking a lot of Eagles. The Eagles taking on the Ravens this week. Big game. Do you need to see the Eagles go down there and make a statement on Sunday? And also, talking about the Eagles and how they stack up with the Detroit Lions. You got the Lions, who are obviously a very good team, 11-1 this year. They win again yesterday. But I watched that game yesterday, and that team didn't scare me. I mean, they struggled to get past the Bears. I didn't think they were that impressive. And I'm at the point where I would love to get the number one seed. Probably not going to happen. I don't think it's a huge deal, though. If the Eagles have to go on the road to beat Detroit in the NFC Championship game, I am confident they'll do it.
I'm not there yet. I hope to be there by the time the NFC Championship rolls around. It feels like this is a very likely scenario at this point. I think the one seed matters. I think the Lions have the inside track on that number one seed. And I think they, frankly, have done everything they've needed to do thus far this season to have earned that number one status. And it's their NFC to lose, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles are just a better team. I do. I look at the Lions. They're good. They're talented. I think overall the Eagles receivers are better. I think the quarterbacks kind of cancel out. The running games are similar, but Saquon, I think, is the bigger difference maker. And I just think the Eagles' defense is better than the Lions' defense is. And the loss of Aiden Hutchinson is a really big deal. I get the Eagles just lost Brandon Graham. Love Brandon Graham. He's not Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson is one of the best defensive players in football. And, you know, I would be confident to pick the Eagles going in there to beat Detroit in that game. So you want to get in, 215-592-9494. Our side topic today, give us something that has aged well. My kids are 2 and 3 years old, and they love The Wizard of Oz, which came out in 1939. It's 85 years old, and they are still... It still draws kids in. Any age, it is aged incredibly well. So give us something that is aged well as well. That's our side topic today. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the phones in a second here. But breaking Sixers news during the break. For their game, when is their game? Tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow night. They're in Detroit.
Okay, tomorrow night they're in Detroit. And Joel Embiid is out, correct, Buzz?
Correct. With the official reason... Injury, knee management slash personal reasons.
Knee injury management slash personal reasons. Well, I hope everything's okay with Joel Embiid. Don't know what the personal reasons are, obviously. But the knee injury management part of it is obviously extremely concerning. And, I mean, Nick Nurse spoke about this before the game the other night, and this didn't seem like a very encouraging update to me. Here's what Nick Nurse had to say about Joel and where his knee is right now.
Well, I don't think we know, right? I think we, all of that you said is on our table, or on our plate, I mean. He needs to play again and see how it reacts. I mean, that's kind of where we're at right now. It gets to a point where he can play. And then the recovery, the process of when he can go again and all that kind of stuff. I think we knew there'd be some moments and times where it's going to take a little longer, but we're hoping that those times in between playing get less and less as we go here as it gets a little stronger.
I mean, it doesn't sound good, basically saying, you know, we'll see based on Joel playing and how much time he's going to need, because he plays the other night, plays in Memphis, puts up 35, and then has to sit for a few games here. I do not think this knee is going to get any better, and I think the fact that the Sixers gave him this extension...
looks horrible.
It's crazy. And I at the time, I thought it was all procedural. This is what you got to do. But they know more than we know. Like, they have more access
they
to Joel.
They apparently consulted 6 doctors on this?
Right. They have much more access to Joel Embiid's health situation than we do. And if you knew the knee was this bad and you gave him that extension, it's ridiculous. It's crazy.
How long until you genuinely would... I don't think they're going to do it. But how long, Tom, if you were running the Sixers, if you were Daryl Morey, effectively, would you just say, all right, it's actually better if we just lose and protect our draft pick this year as opposed to contend for this year?
I don't think you can. Like, I really don't think that's the route you're going to go. Because
I don't think they're going to, but, like, what are they playing for?
Well, this is the problem. Really nothing. Like, if you tank, you got to be so bad because that pick is only top 6 protected.
Correct.
If you finish 7 or higher, and obviously that's a lottery situation, you're going to lose the pick. So I think that's a really risky game to play. You just signed Paul George. I mean, I don't think he's going to be very happy about the team tanking.
Is he very happy with how the team is now? I mean, like...
No, but I don't think this is a... I don't think it's as simple as you just say, okay, we're going to shut everybody down and tank, because that's going to make a lot of people within the organization very upset, and I think it's going to make most fans very upset.
I agree, and I don't think they'll do it, but I guess I'm looking at it from the perspective of, if they keep trying to win, like, they're 3-14 right now, I believe. Like, if I had to ask you right now, how many regular season wins do they finish with? And what seed do they finish with? Like,
Well, I mean, I have no clue because I don't know how many games Embiid's going to play.
You don't, but I'm going off of, if we're playing the odds. Like, it seems like he can't stay on the court for more than two games at a time, right? Like, everyone thought he was ducking booze last week, but now he still hasn't been able to play. It doesn't feel like he could string it feels like he can't string more than two games in a row together. And I asked this question to I proposed this question yesterday on my own show, and I'll ask it to you right now. Even if, let's in a fantasy world where the Sixers won every game for the rest of the season and Embiid didn't have to play a single game, you could spot them the one seed in the East starting in mid-April. If you said to me right now the Sixers are the number one seed in mid-April, could Embiid even get through the 2 months required for the playoffs? Like, could he do it?
And probably not.
Like, probably not. Like, I've just lost so much hope as a fan in general, and it feels like the best case scenario is they make the play and it gets like losing five at best to the Celtics in the first round. Where are you going?
But it's this is the thing, though. It's not. I don't think it's as easy as saying, "Oh, well, let's just tank."
Like, I agree. It's not. It's a hypothetical. It's not going to happen.
There are way too many things involved with that. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think have many options here. Like, they've just got to hope
is what they are.
Yeah, they've just got to hope that Embiid can go out there and play eventually, and that Paul George can stay on the floor, and that they can find a way to win enough games to get in the play-in because they don't have many other options. Really don't have any other options.
They're so stuck. Like, they are just so stuck, and they're going to work back. Last year, they lost in the first round. Obviously, they've had mostly second-round exits during the process. This feels like a year they could literally lose in the play-in, which would mean they don't even make the playoffs. At best, a first-round exit yet again. I just don't see how it goes any better. And even if they were able to advance, it doesn't feel like Embiid could stay on the court for more than a week at a time at most anyway. So I just don't even know what the potential payoff. I don't know what this season going well looks like anymore. I really don't.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Nobody's going to know until we have some sort of clarification with Embiid. And this is the thing that I've been saying for a week now, at least. Daryl Morey needs to come out and say something. Like, Daryl Morey needs to speak to his fan base. Because right now, it's not fair to Nick Nurse to consistently send him out there to answer questions that either he doesn't know the answers to.
Or can't say.
Like, you can't continue to throw Nick Nurse out there. Daryl Morey's the one who made these decisions. He's the one who signed Joel Embiid the extension. He's the one who signed Paul George this offseason. Daryl Morey needs to come out and speak. I mean, it's really that simple.
I would be in favor of that. Him getting grilled by Howard right now would be something, wouldn't it? Well, like, him getting grilled by anyone right now. I don't even know what that press conference would sound like. His long-winded answers about why the team's 3-14 and they're staying the course, and he's going to roll his eyes at questions about Embiid. Like, I'm in favor of him speaking too, but I don't know how it could possibly go well.
No, I mean, it probably won't go well, but he owes it to the fan base to come out and say something. But if you want to get in on the Sixers, 215-592-9494, Joel Embiid out at least another game tomorrow night. Does look like Paul George might be back. He was a full participant at practice, so we'll see if the Sixers get him back tomorrow night as well. And with them going to Detroit, it does just make me angry thinking about how much Tobias Harris got to be loving this situation right now. I can't stand Tobias. He's got to be cracking. I don't think he's happy Joel's hurt, but I think he's happy that the Sixers are going through so
the
much
Sixers
turmoil.
And not like he would be helping it at all right now if he were here, but yeah, he's probably not missing the Sixers too much.
He probably feels like he's the scapegoat, even though he sucked when he was here.
Correct, and he feels like, look, you're without me and you still suck, and all those Sixers fans who didn't know more and would have traded who didn't know anything and would have traded me for a crumble cookie. Look at me now. That team has three wins and you suck. And you got Paul George and he can't stay on the court either. And he's been disappointing when he plays. No, you're probably right. He's probably got a grin ear to ear every night they lose.
Yeah, it's really not good. Let's go back to the phones. Aaron in Norristown. What's up, Aaron?
Hey guys, how you doing? I wanted to talk a little bit about, you were talking about Harbaugh and our coach Sirianni. When you were talking about Harbaugh, this coach has, you can just Google the amount of poor decisions that he's made in terms of challenging. I mean, if you want to criticize Andy Reid, this guy's the worst challenge coach in the history of the NFL. He has taken a team with a two-time MVP, can't even get out of the first round of the playoffs. Yet he has been an embarrassment in Baltimore. And how do you have the worst points per game in the fourth quarter as a head coach at giving up 10 points a game, and the Eagles actually are the stingiest fourth quarter team at 2 points per game, and tell me that he is a better coach right now than Nick Sirianni?
Well,
Sirianni's better, So how is he better?
Well, I don't think he's an embarrassment.
I've heard you guys talk for a while. Let me ask a question. How is he better in his playoff? Pretend everything is looked at through a green pair of glasses. Put the glasses on the Ravens like they're the Eagles, and tell me how you would feel about him as a coach in the playoffs the past 5 years.
Well, Aaron, this is the thing, and I don't think he's an embarrassment. I think he is a good coach, but you were right. Like, Harbaugh has had a number of very questionable decisions over the course of the last couple of years, and a few weeks ago, I'm watching the Ravens game, and he challenges a play that is one of the worst challenges I've seen all season. It was a matter of 2 yards in the first quarter of a game. And it's like, my initial thought immediately was, if Nick Sirianni challenges this play, he's getting absolutely crushed for it. But it's John Harbaugh, so he won't.
We'll be talking about it. Right. My point is just like how he's given up. His defense is the worst secondary, the second worst secondary in the NFL. I mean, he literally has a 2-time MVP, and he can't even get to a championship game. Imagine that. Imagine we had that here. It's literally like, you know, he's above criticism because he won one Super Bowl. When was that? Was that 2 years ago? Was that 10 years ago? How long ago was that? Right? So right now, as a head coach, he is considered hard-nosed, stubborn, and unyielding. And I'm going to tell you, if the game comes down, do you think the game is going to come down to a close game? He's just as propensity to make a bad decision as Nick does, if not worse. He's got a 2-time potential 3-time MVP as his quarterback. He's got a 1,500-yard rusher, and he can't pull off a win. He gets beat by the Raiders in the fourth quarter. He gets blown out in the fourth quarter by the Raiders. If he was our coach, he'd be getting lambasted. Instead, he's John Harbaugh, so he's a golden child. You know, I think he's the most overrated coach in the NFL right now, in my opinion.
Aaron, I hope you're correct, and I really hope what you're saying is true, and I hope that he does make a poor decision late in the game, because that would help the Eagles. Maybe I would view him differently if I was, you know, watching every single moment of every single Ravens game like I do with the Eagles. I'm just looking at the overall body of work, his overall, and I understand what you're saying, that he hasn't been to an AFC Championship game, and no, he's not above criticism because he won one Super Bowl, you know, a decade ago, but it you know, Nick Sirianni has, the only year he's ever won a playoff game was the year they went to the Super Bowl and lost as well. So I just don't buy that. You're saying, well, what is Harbaugh better at? Like, where would you rank Harbaugh in your coaches in the NFL right now? Like, I guess not top 5. I guess not even top 10. Like, you think he's the flat out bad coach?
Currently, he's middle. Right now, he's a middle of the road coach. Andy Reid's a great coach, but when he left here, where would you rank him? So everything's current. I don't really care about your past. I care about where we are right now. And the Eagles have a better – you haven't even addressed. How do you have a team that in the fourth quarter that has the best running game in the league outside of ours, or maybe equal if you want to consider their quarterback, how do they have the worst performance in the fourth quarter? Is any of that on the head coach? How are they the worst performing fourth quarter team in the NFL?
Yeah, hey, Aaron, I hear you, man. What do you got for our side topic today?
Disney.
What's that?
Disney.
Okay. There you go. Appreciate the call, Aaron.
Disney has aged quite well. I mean, that's an overarching company that encompasses lots of movies, franchises, if you will. But that's a pretty good answer. Just really quickly going back to, like, they might be the worst in the fourth quarter, whatever Aaron was saying to his point. Like, they're still 8-4. They're still in the AFC.
Well, you know, as bad as Nick Sirianni is, the Eagles are 9-2.
I never said Nick Sirianni was bad. No.
You don't think Nick Sirianni's a very good coach?
I do think he's a good coach.
You do?
I don't think he's a great guy. I've said that a few times today. I think he's a good coach, not a great coach.
Do you think he makes more good game management decisions or bad game management decisions?
I think he makes high leverage. I think if you were going strictly quantity of game management decisions, more good than bad. I think he makes some really high leverage mistakes in bad situations, and that is what's preventing me from saying he's a great coach.
I just, and that's where I just don't see it the same way. And I think when we look at a guy like John Harbaugh, we do base so much on his resume. Because when a coach isn't here and we're not watching them every week, that's how we view him. And I think it's similar to Dan Campbell and Nick Sirianni, where there is this, I think, perception, and correct me if I'm wrong here in Philadelphia, and I think nationally, that Dan Campbell is like this great head coach. And look at what he's done for Detroit. I don't see really any difference between Dan Campbell and Nick Sirianni. I think they both are very aggressive. They're both in the CEO-type role. They both kind of delegate to their coordinators. But we being so overly focused on Nick, and I think partially this is the situation that's been created by the Eagles here, but we only look at the negatives and we don't look at the positives. And I think with Nick Sirianni, you look at the things that he has done, his ability to be adaptable, his willingness to change, his willingness to think about things and be like, okay, well, maybe that wasn't the right decision. Maybe I will change course. Early in the game last week where the Eagles get down the field and maybe he did look at that situation and thought, okay, well, maybe this is a spot I should get points early in the game, sets a different tone, sets a different message instead of going for a fourth and goal at the three. Like, I just look at Nick Sirianni and I see a coach that is growing. I see a coach who is willing to learn from his mistakes. And there are so many head coaches in this league who are stubborn and won't change and won't do anything differently. And I just don't think he gets nearly enough credit for that.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Eagles have been, would you agree that the Eagles have been a generally slow starting team this season? They've been a much better second half team than
obviously
first half team. Okay, right. Do you think some of that falls on coaching? The fact that they, it takes them a little bit to get going, whether it's game planning or whatever else, they come out of the gate slow.
Sure. I think more of it falls on the quarterback. I think more of it's Jalen Hurts is a slow starter, but of course, some of it comes down to coaching.
Okay. Do you think in a game like the Ravens, they can get away with the slow start against the Rams and against the Commanders and against all these other teams? Do you think they can get away, so quote unquote, get away with a slow, underwhelming start like we've seen countless times this year and expect to still beat a team like the Ravens on the road, or is this a team they need to kind of come out firing and play a strong four quarters?
Yeah, I think it would be obviously advantageous to come out and get off to a hot start.
But,
sure.
But it is, I think, much more necessary to do it this week than any other week we've seen. And
yeah,
if you yourself are admitting that that is partially on the coach being prepared, like, who would you, I know it's hard to isolate, like, what specifically coaches are good at, but based upon what you've seen out of Sirianni and the general, I know it's the coordinator too, coaching staff of the Eagles this year versus the track record of John Harbaugh. Apparently, they're the worst fourth quarter team, but they have 8 wins. Like, who do you feel stronger about when it comes to game planning this game? Like, who do you think is putting together the better game plan, Sirianni or Harbaugh? Like, I would.
Well, I don't think either of them are really doing the game planning as much. I think that comes down to the coordinators.
But their coaching staff.
Yeah,
their coaching staff.
Right, but John
it still
Harbaugh
falls on them.
John Harbaugh is in the same role Nick Sirianni is.
I know. I haven't used the term CEO coach once. I'm just saying their coaching staff.
Right. He's not coordinating the offense or the defense. Yeah, I'd have confidence in the Eagles coaching staff.
But do you have more confidence than the Ravens coaching staff to game plan a game like this?
No, I have more confidence in the Eagles coaching staff.
Okay, so even though they, based on, like, how many strong starts would you say they've had this season?
Not many.
But you
again,
still have confidence for them to turn that around in this game?
Well, I mean, why is that all on coaching? Like, I didn't say
it was all on coaching, but we're talking about the coaches.
Right, I put it more on the quarterback. Like, I think when the Eagles are starting slow, I mean, and you watch the games, I'm seeing receivers open. Like, I'm seeing plays that are there to be made. I think the quarterback starts slow. He started better last week, which was an encouraging sign. But I think when we look at the slow starts, I put that more on Jalen Hurts than I put it on Nick Sirianni.
Well, it may be more on Jalen Hurts. And if we're going back to that trio question that we asked Seth, I think that would be a big reason why I'd give the edge to Lamar over a guy like Jalen Hurts. But I think that is somewhat on coaching. I think when your team consistently comes out slow, and it's become like a running joke. Like, I saw so many tweets last week at halftime, like, they're going to still win this game by 2 or 3 scores. It won't even matter. I think this is the type of week where it matters, and I think this is the type of week where the Eagles' slow starts goes from, like, funny to, okay, now they actually look kind of unprepared again, and it's going to cost them in a big game.
It might, but when we're looking at the head coaches, and the conversation we were having before was more about game management.
Oh, I know. Coaching is not all between, you know, in game. There's a lot of week-to-week stuff. Yeah.
I think generally, though, when we look at the game management part, I think Nick Sirianni is more of a positive than a negative. Would you agree with that or no? From a game management perspective.
More of a positive than, I don't know if I can say he's more positive than negative. He's made a lot of really questionable decisions.
Right, well then say he's negative.
I'll say he's a negative.
Okay. Well, we'll throw that out to the audience.
I think he's been more of a negative, just from strictly game management perspective. I think he's a good coach. I'm clarifying that. But if you're asking me strictly game management, I think he's been more of a negative, yeah.
215-592-9494. Do you think Nick Sirianni's game management is more of a positive for the Eagles or a negative for the Eagles? You are welcome to get in on that as well. Let's go to Trevor in New Jersey. What's up, Trevor?
Hi, I just want to say, what about John Harbaugh not running the ball in the AFC Championship game? That's a bad decision by John Harbaugh, too. Am I wrong?
Because they would have won the game if they gave it the, like, if they just ran the ball.
That was an extreme, that was a very questionable game plan in that AFC Championship game last year. It was, yeah, I didn't know what they were doing in that game.
And for Nick Sirianni, I know he has a lot of questionable decisions, but he brings the culture to the team. He knows what he's doing. He, like, he pumps the team up. He has the greatest team speeches I've ever heard in my whole entire life. He's a great team leader. That's what we need. If we brought someone in like Bill Belichick, I don't think the Eagles would be playing the same way that they are. I know that Sirianni doesn't have the best game decisions, but he's a great leader.
Belichick, for what it's worth, seemed to motivate his guys just fine for like two decades.
Yeah, but then he lost Tom Brady and the team stunk.
Yes, I know, but that wasn't all. We could do the Belichick-Brady thing. Go on, Trevor.
No, I want to do the Belichick-Brady thing because I think that as soon as Brady left, then Belichick lost his, like, mojo. Like, his team stunk, like you guys said. Like, it's just my honest opinion. Like, I think that Nick Sirianni is better than John Harbaugh when it comes to certain choices and when it comes to, like, listening to his players. And they listen to the fans because the fans said run the ball, and that's what they're doing now. They're not doing questionable plays anymore.
Yeah, I hear you, Trevor, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And that's the thing. And with, obviously, you know, Belichick was a good coach for a long time. And I don't know with Nick, this is kind of the problem, is how quantifiable are the things that he's doing that aren't game management decisions.
Sure.
But at some point, like, the record does need to matter.
Of course, the record, is why I'm saying he's a good coach.
Right.
You can't be a. I think it's extremely difficult to be a bad coach in the NFL and have the record he has. I do. I believe that is difficult to accomplish. I also believe that, I also believe that they have come out slow in games this so far this season. That does go. Maybe you want to say it's more on the quarterback. That's partially on him. I do think the track record. We could litigate. John Harbaugh's been coaching since 2008. He, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, every coach who's been around for a long time has questionable decisions. And there have been reasons that they've been good coaches and bad coaches. I'm sure if we were Ravens fans, we would have a whole litany of things that Harbaugh has done poorly. But overall, just the bottom line is that they have been one of the most consistently competitive teams for a really long time. And his record, as you just mentioned with Nick Sirianni, is overall pretty good. At a certain point, the record has to matter with John Harbaugh, and you have to acknowledge that in a league where there's so much coach turnover, like a quarter of it every year, for him to serve the test of time where they don't deal with BS or nonsense in Baltimore, they are held to a pretty high standard down there. I just don't know how you can, like, I'm just not ready to say in week, whatever we're in, 12, 13 of the 24 season, like, yeah, Nick Sirianni, Harbaugh, they're right there. Like, Harbaugh, well, I think nationally would still be given the edge.
Sure, nationally, but my argument is I don't care about the history. Like, I don't care. I'm looking at it right now, and right now I think these coaches are pretty even.